Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning. We are in the fourth week of our Love, Sex, and Message series, and I want to just thank Mitch again for doing such a great job last week. Didn't Mitch do awesome? Yeah. I asked the poor single guy to talk about this stuff, and he was shaking in his boots a little bit, but he did good. I didn't give you the sex message, though, Mitch, so, you know, there you go, buddy. So, man, I'm excited. I'm excited you all are here, and we're continuing on the series. We've talked about a lot of really important stuff about this series. We talked week one about how do you know what real love is, and that true Jesus-centered love is love that always says you first, that true, real love, the way that God intended for us to have it in our relationships, is love that always says you first. It puts the other person first. And so a Jesus-centered marriage is going to be one where, you know, when it's time to order at a restaurant, you know, it's, hey, you order first. No, you order first. Really, it's okay. No, seriously, I want you to order first. No, you order first. And the waiter just wants to punch you both in the face because he's like, I got other tables. But that's a you first marriage. It's always you first. That's real love. But then we also talked the next week about what if that's not what your relationship looks like? What if your relationship is not that? And we talked about what the opposite of love is, and that's lust. That's wanting for yourself, and that lust is always me first. And so if your relationship is not you first, that, you know, you really want to take a hard look at that relationship and say, wow, is this based on love, or is this based on lust to satisfy some needs or desires that I have? Last week we talked about with Mitch the idea that communication and healthy communication is the foundation of every relationship. How we talk to each other, how we communicate to each other is crucial to any relationship. And that we always want to speak good things about each other, that we always build up, never tear down. That every word that comes out of our mouth about our spouse, about the person we're dating, about the people we care about the most in this life, even if it's a joke, that we always build up, never tear down. Always build up, never tear down. And this week, I want to take a little bit of a turn, and let me explain why. When we were putting together our calendar of messages for the end of 2014, I sat down together with a bunch of creative people from Compass just to kind of get their input, and there were several college students on that team. And so we just plotted out different message series that we felt like we maybe should talk about, or that we felt like God would lead us to talk about here at Compass. And, you know, there's all sorts of stuff on there that would have been really exciting and cool to talk about. And we put on there a message series about marriage and love, sex, and marriage, basically. And so we put all these series up on the board, and then we had everybody go around the table and give them a score. And so out of 1 to 10, how excited are you, or how relevant do you think this is to your life? How much do you want to hear about this topic? And so around the board on some of these message series, there's like, you know, 4, 3, 3, 2, 4, you know, or maybe 6, 3, 3, 7, 2, you know, all kind of in the middle. When we got to the vote on the numbers for the Love, Sex, and Marriage series, all of us who were married in the room were like, 9. Man, we want to hear about, you know, godly marriage, godly relationships. 9, 8, 10. Then we got to the college students. 2, 1. Like, they're just rolling their eyes. Like, seriously, do we have to sit through another message series on marriage? And I'm like, guys, you're going to be married someday. Don't you want to, like, know this stuff? I guess. I can't even roll my eyes. I got glasses on today, but like if I could, I would massively do that so you could see the mood in the room. So today I wanted to do something for the college students and the single people that we have in the room today. So if you are single, this one is for you, because today we are going to talk about dating, okay? We're going to talk about dating. If you're married, some of you guys are like, oh, I'm married. I don't want to talk about dating. That's stupid. I did that. Listen, if you're married, don't check out on me, okay? A couple reasons. One, you either have kids or will have kids, and they're going to want to date. Maybe they're dating now, okay? You need to hear this for that. The other thing is this. We're going to bring this thing all around. This is going to be relevant to you and your life. I promise. So do not check out on me, please. But when I think about dating, and I think back on like my dating experiences, it makes me think of going to Family Video and renting a movie. And I think about when I go to Family Video and rent a movie, a lot of times I'll go in and what I'll do is I'll walk the outer ring of all the new movies, right? And you just look for something that you want to see, but you don't remember that you want to see. And so I walk the outer ring and usually there's nothing that I haven't seen. And so then I make the second circle, and on this one, I'm looking for interesting covers, right? You're just looking for a DVD or a Blu-ray that has a neat cover because maybe it's going to be cool. Now, for me, I'm looking for something that looks either scary or super sci-fi, or, you know, something that pretty much every woman in this room would probably hate. That's what I'm looking for. And so I'll go and I'll see it. I'll see that cover. And I'm like, I haven't seen that movie. And it looks kind of interesting because, you know, there's a giant robotic dinosaur fighting an octopus. And, you know, I think that could be up my alley. And so what do you do? You grab that Blu-ray because it looks sharp. The cover looks nice. And you check it out and you take it home. And, you know, you're feeling good, right? It's like, I've not seen this. I'm gonna be exposed to something new and exciting. And I'm going to be able to tell everyone how great it is. It's going to be awesome. You open up that case, you put it in the Blu-ray player, you get a bowl of ice cream, and you look at it and you say, I'm just going to get the whole carton of ice cream and bring that out. And you press play, and you're feeling good. You know, anything is possible. This could be the greatest movie you've ever seen in your life. Until 10 minutes in, and you realize, I've made a terrible mistake. I want my dollar back because this movie is awful. You're watching, you're like, oh, this is, and you're counting down the minutes, right, till this movie is over. And like, okay, maybe you're not like me. Maybe you're the type of person who can just turn a movie off. That's not me. I made a commitment to this movie. I invested in it. I put money into it. I'm going to watch this movie. But I'm watching, I'm going, oh, this is just the worst. And you realize as you're watching it, boy, this movie is unwatchable. It's just terrible. Now, for me, that movie would be like going and renting like 27 dresses, you know, something like that. It was like, Chris, you're mean. Stop. Or like, ladies, you're going to hate me, but like watching the whole Twilight series, I'd rather line up and have every person in here punch me in the face. I'm sorry. Listen, that's just me. But listen, for you ladies, it would be like if your husband came home with like all three Matrix movies and maybe you can choke down the first one, but the last two, you're like, ugh. Or, you know, your husband's like, babe, I got a great idea for tonight. Let's do this. Let's watch the extended cut of all the Lord of the Rings movies. What do you think? And the ladies are like, kill me now. And so you sit and watch, right? You sit and watch because you're committed to the process of watching this movie, but ugh. It's yuck. You realize, this, I'm not into this. This is not what I want. And this is a familiar scenario for most of us because we've watched a lot of bad movies. But for some of us, we can relate to this in a dating sense. Because a lot of us, whether you're single now or whether you did this before you got married, a lot of us have been through the process of checking out someone to go on a date with, you know, getting to the restaurant, feeling really excited about it. And then as soon as the breadsticks come at Olive Garden, you're just like, oh, dear Lord God in heaven, please let them just get salad. Because I don't want to wait through a whole meal. Salad and water, no refills, please. Anybody ever have like a horrible dating? Listen, raise your hand if you've had a horrible dating experience. It's okay. Your wife or husband doesn't know it was them. It's okay. If you've had a horrible dating, yeah, most of us have had something like that. And we, a lot of us has had that experience in a dating relationship because you get to know someone a little bit. You're like, this person's kind of neat. You know, their cover looks pretty good. I might enjoy this. And then, you go out on a date with them. And then you find that you're counting down the minutes for it just to end. Everybody wants to find that special someone. We all do. Some of us have found that special someone and feel great about it. But if every single person has that desire in them to just find that it person, the person who you're like, you know, God designed that person for me. You know, it's that guy who you write your name and then his last name on your Hello Kitty, you know, precious memories journal. And it's just, that's all that is in there, just your name. And like, maybe there's like five different last names. I don't know. You're just trying them out. Who knows? Or for guys, it's that girl who like, when you're with her, you're trying to be all GQ and suave, but every time you talk, like drool comes out of your mouth and you're just an idiot. We all want to find that person. We all want to make that dating connection, right? We all want to make that connection. But dating is tough. And you know, as evidenced by the people who've raised hands in this room and the people who didn't raise hands in this room because you're sitting by the person you made a dating mistake with, it's easy. Statistically, that person has to be in here. I feel safe in saying that. But because of that, because so many of us have made bad dating choices and seen those bad dating choices maybe turn into bad marriage choices, we really want to say, what is God's plan for dating? What does the Bible say about dating? And understand, how does God want us to walk through this process? Now, let me be totally open and transparent up front, just straightforward from the very beginning. The Bible doesn't really talk a lot about dating. Okay, you're not going to find a story in the Bible where, you know, Jesus said, you know, thou shalt date in thus manner. It's not in there. You won't find it. And I think the reason is because back then they didn't have a concept of dating the way that we do. You know, relationships were very different back in you know, Bible times. Basically, in Bible times, you had arranged marriages where it's like, hey, bro, you're marrying her. And, you know, you're like, well, I hope when I meet her, she's good looking or can cook or maybe both, you know, one of the two. You know, that's arranged marriages are set up, or they had, you know, these types of, it wasn't real dating, but it was kind of this setup where a family would come together and they would put the two people together and try to see them, I don't know, hang out and a system where, you know, you were socialized in families and groups. But the idea of dating would have been very foreign to them. And so the Bible doesn't really speak to the process of dating that we have nowadays. But don't be discouraged, because the Bible has lots of principles that it talks about that apply exactly to this topic. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to walk through some of those biblical principles about dating in our dating lives, if you're single, and maybe if you're married, how to navigate your kids through dating or your grandkids through dating. But how can we receive God's best in dating relationships? And so the first thing I want to read to you is Proverbs 3:5. Now, this is kind of a key foundational idea that we need to understand in life and in dating. And Proverbs 3:5 says this. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding." Now, that's a great, you know, statement that's easy to, you know, toss out. And, hey, that's my favorite Bible verse in the world. But sometimes it can be difficult to trust God. And I think it can be difficult to trust God in areas where we really want to make something happen. And we want to see something happen. And I think in our dating relationships, I think that, man, in dating, you want to make that thing happen, right? You find the person that you think is it. You want to just maneuver and manipulate and, you know, send flowers and, you know, send cards. You want to do everything you can to make this relationship work out. And it can be, you know, it can be because you think that person's great. It can be because you don't want to be lonely anymore. It can be any number of reasons, but it's hard sometimes to just trust God and let God do what he wants to do in our dating relationships, because we just want to make something happen. We don't want to spend time alone. And sometimes in our attempts to cure loneliness, we can do stupid things and we can make mistakes by stepping outside of God's plan for our dating relationships and stepping outside of trusting God to do what he wants to do in our lives. But here's the thing, if we want to date in a different way than we ever have before, if we want to connect to that special person in a different way than we ever have before, we need to do things in a different way than we ever have before. And God's got a plan for that. And so doing things in a different way, differently than we always have, and not trusting in our own understanding as it relates to our relationships is the key to dating differently. Romans 12:2 says this. It says, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will know what God wants you to do." How many of you would love to know what God wants you to do? You'd love for God to just say, "Hey, this is my will. You know, go do this." I love Romans 12:2 because it says this. Do you want to know what God wants you to do? Do you want to know what God's plan is? Okay, here's what you do. Don't do things the way the world does it. Don't do things the way everyone else does them or the way that society or culture thinks they should be done. I want you to do things my way. And in order to do that, you need to let God change the way you think about things. You need to change the way that you look at things. We need to change the way that we approach and pursue relationships. We need to change the way that we think about dating, because, you know, the way dating and relationships happen on TV, the way dating and relationships, even marriage, happen in the lives of our friends and co-workers at work, people who aren't followers of Jesus, even in the lives of people who are followers of Jesus, but who are getting it all wrong. Those ways, that's what God's saying. Don't do that anymore. I don't want you to approach life. I don't want you to approach relationships, marriage, dating that way. I want to change the way you think about all of these things. And so to do that, there's one principle that I want to start with, and we're just going to unpack it for the rest of this message today. And this is a principle that I talk to my kids about. It's a principle that I'm going to talk to my kids much more about the closer they get to dating age. My oldest, Cameron, is 12, and she looks like she's 15, and it just scares the crap out of me. And so, like, I want this in her heart. I want this in my daughter, Trinity. Man, Cameron is just like, Cameron's really like kind of a rock, and she's got a level head. My daughter, Trinity, she burns hot and she burns fast. I'm like, oh, sweet Jesus God in heaven, let Trinity get this in her heart. Calvin, I don't worry about because he's a boy, so. That's not true. But this is a principle I want to drill into my kids. I want to drill into their lives. And this is a principle that I have personally developed over years of dating badly, over years of being a youth pastor and watching teenagers date badly, over years of seeing people who dated badly marry badly and take the bad habits and the mistakes they made in dating and translate those things into a marriage that was difficult and challenging. And then, of course, you know, from God's word on the topic. So the principle I want to talk to you about today, and this is everything, okay? And it's this. It's date to find your mate. Everybody say that with me. Date to find your mate. Every college student in this room, say date to find your mate. If you are a teenager in high school or junior high, say date to find your mate. I love that. The college students are like, they're old enough with enough experience to go, you know what, I've screwed up enough times. Maybe there's something to this. All the high school and junior hires are going, Chris, shut up. You just don't say this for my parents, you jerk. Date to find your mate. This is a purposeful dating plan that it doesn't just make dating biblical, but it makes it smart. It makes it an intelligent way to walk through the process of dating, and that's date to discover your mate. The purpose is this. The purpose of dating is to find the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Now, culture, society would say, well, no, you date to have fun. You want to go out and just have a good time. I don't want to be alone on weekends. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about dating specifically to identify and find the person that God has for you to spend the rest of your life with, looking for the characteristics and the traits of the person that you want to be married to for the rest of your life. And so, man, when I was a youth pastor, teenagers hated this message. They hated this whole like principle. But here's the idea. I'd be like, okay, guys, so when should you start dating? People are like, oh, when you're 15. Well, my mom says when I'm 16. Mom says when I'm 18. And someone's over here like, 12? You know, I'm like, okay, well, here's the question. If you're dating to find your mate, let me ask you this. Are you ready to get married tomorrow? No. Well, don't date. Okay. Don't do it. Don't date, because date to find your mate is a biblical and intelligent principle about moving forward in your relationships in a way that protects your heart, protects the heart of the people that you're going to be dating. And listen, if you're not ready to get married, you know, let's be friends. Let's hang out in groups. You know, let's just be friends. So let's do this. Let's unpack the hows and the whys of date to find your mate. Let's look at this and see what does this practically mean for us. And there's three things that I kind of want to talk to you about. And I'm going to start with this passage. This is just a great line out of Proverbs. It's Proverbs 24:27. It says, "Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house." Do your planning and prepare your fields before building your house. What is this verse saying? It's saying, make a plan before you jump into something. Make a plan, know what you're going to do, know what's ahead of you before you jump into something. And at the root, at the heart of dating to find your mate is this. It's all about making a plan and sticking to it. It's all about planning ahead. See, what planning does is planning keeps us from making stupid emotional decisions, right? And there's no other realm where you are going to make stupid emotional decisions than in the world of romantic relationships. And so dating to find your mate is all about planning ahead. It's planning what you're going to do in your field long before you get started on building anything. And so there's three principles out of scripture that I'm going to pull out about dating to find your mate. And these are how to make a plan to date in a Jesus-centered way, okay? How to make a plan to date in a Jesus-centered way. And step one is this. In order to date to find your mate, you need to plan who you are going to see. You got to plan who you're going to see. So let's jump back to me walking through Family Video, right? Looking for a movie. The reality is this. When I walk into the video store, I'm walking right past that romantic comedy section, okay? I don't even want to look at it. I don't even want to glance it out of the side of my face, because maybe there's someone who's like in a spaceship over there and it might pull my eyes away. But I know I don't want a space romantic comedy. I don't want romantic comedy at all. I'm passing it. I'm going to the scary movies and I'm going to the sci-fi movies. That's what I want to watch. So everything else, I don't even need to stop and look at it, because I got a plan. I know what I'm looking for. I know what movies I want to watch. I know what entertains me. And my wife, bless her heart, she hates that. And I know, like, ladies, if you want to have like a really, if you want to love my wife, hey, let's have a girls' night and rent a romantic comedy. That'd be the best thing in the world. You know, she would love that. But it's the same in dating. In the same way that I'm going to go for the movies that I know I want, we need to know what we want out of a person who we're going to be dating. I need to plan who I'm going to see. I want to know my likes and dislikes. I want to know what kind of person I want to date. What am I looking for in a potential date? What am I looking for in a potential mate? What do I like and what do I not like? Does their breath stink? Is their butt too big? Do they like country music or do they like good music? Do they like... I love the lines that divide a crowd. You know, but seriously, do they like Star Trek or Star Wars? Do they like poetry or do they like football? These are things that we need to know ahead of time when we look at people who we are potentially going to date. And the reason we want to know these things is because we need to know the qualities that we are looking for in a potential mate, okay? We need to know the qualities of the things that we are looking for in a person that we want to spend the rest of our life with, because all of the qualities that are in a person who you are dating will still be there when you get married, and the bad ones will be worse, okay? That, and married people are like, amen. It's just, listen, it is a fact of life. The qualities that are in your date now, they will still be there when you get married. And when you're married, you know, he or she doesn't care if you hear them fart because there's a ring on their finger. Do you know what I'm talking about? Seriously, those things don't go away. And here's the other thing out of this. You will not be able to change that person once you get married. The qualities of the person you date will be there when you get married, and you cannot change the person, okay? You can't change them by nagging. You can't change them by trying to course correct them. You can't change them by manipulating them. Those things are in them. And so when you're dating, you need to look for the qualities that you want to have in a person. When Terry and I were dating, I knew I wanted to be a rock star in a band. That's all I wanted to do. I didn't give a rip about anything else in the world. I went to Bible college and I got an education in Bible and theology. And I didn't even care. I just wanted to play rock and roll music. And Terry, you know, we're dating and she wanted me to be a pastor so bad. She just wanted to marry a pastor. She wanted to be a pastor's wife and all the things that go with being a pastor's wife. And, you know, he wears a suit and he hits his hand with the Bible and he holds it up like this. And that's what she wanted, you know. And so when we were dating, there was a point at which we went out to eat and I just had to sit her down and I had to be like, Terry, listen, I love you. I want to marry you, okay? But you need to understand this. If you marry me, I will never be a pastor, okay? I will always be in a rock band. And if you don't like that, if you can't deal with that, that's okay, but you will not be able to change that about me. Now, God was obviously on Terry's side more than he was on my side, you know, because I'm not rocking a stage right now. Well, I am kind of rocking a stage right now, although maybe God protected me from a career in country music. No, okay. I went too far. I'm sorry, country music fans. I saw a window and I took it. But the reality was this, is that if Terry and I were going to get married, we had to clear the decks and know that this is who we are. This is who we are going to be when we're married. And if we're good with that, we're good with that. And she was good with that. And like I said, God did something in our lives that basically gave Terry what she wanted, and it was all good. But she knew this. She knew that she couldn't change me, and she knew that what she was getting was what she was getting. And so when you date, if you're preparing to date, don't waste your time on people who don't meet your qualifications. Don't waste your time on people who don't match that list. Don't do it. Listen, how many of you guys have ever gone shopping when you're hungry? Stupidest idea in the world, right? Because what happens when you go into the grocery store and you're hungry? You're like pulling stuff off the shelf that you'd never eat in your life. Like, I'll go shopping when I'm hungry and I'll get home and I'm unpacking stuff and I'm like, okay, a can of sardines packed in oil. Why? I don't know why I got this, but I guess I thought that, like, you know, maybe like the Tom and Jerry cartoons, I would eat a sardine and it would be delicious. I don't, because I was hungry. And dating is the same way. You got to go into shopping with a shopping list. You got to go into dating with the dating list, because if you don't, you're going to have needs and hungers and desires that drive what you connect yourself to in a dating relationship. And whether it's because you're lonely or just because you want to have a good time on the weekends, you're going to pull things off the shelf that you're going to regret having a couple weeks later, because you don't want to open up your refrigerator and have all sorts of food stuffed in there that you don't want. And when you start dating someone without a dating list, that's exactly what's going to happen. That's exactly where you're going to end up. And you don't want to end up seriously dating someone or seriously connected to someone in a relationship that you know you have no intention of marrying or you don't want to marry just because you were lonely. Don't do that to yourself. That's not God's plan for your life. Don't connect yourself to someone in a long-term relationship just because you want someone to go have fun with and see movies with. That's what friends are for. Get in a community group here at Compass, but don't date off your dating list. Don't date off your shopping list. You need to find someone who matches those qualifications, someone who can be your best friend, someone who you can do everything with, someone who will sit and watch your dumb sci-fi movies with you, even though she hates it, but she loves you enough to do it. Those are the things you need to look for in a dating relationship. Don't hitch your wagon to someone who doesn't match your list. And this is a big one right here, 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. It says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? Don't be yoked together. It's the idea of two oxen and they're, you know, pulling like a cart. And there's this yoke, this thing that's connecting them shoulder to shoulder. So they're all pulling together at the same speed. And the Bible's saying this. He's saying, don't be yoked together. Don't be permanently bound and connected together with someone who doesn't share your spiritual values, with someone who doesn't share your faith values. Because if you do, it can destroy your life. That's got to be high on the list. Don't do it. And listen, I know you're lonely and they're a good person. And you know, they're nice to me and they get me flowers and they pay for my meals. And don't do it. What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? You're talking about connecting your values with their values for the rest of your life. You're talking about connecting your values for raising kids with their values for raising kids for the rest of your life. You're talking about connecting your values for what you're going to do connected into a church community with their values of being connected into a church community. And you don't want to be in a relationship where you're always butting heads. You want to be in a relationship where you're moving together at the same speed, at the same pace, in the same direction. So phase one in dating to find your mate, plan who you're going to see. Know who you're going to see so that right out of the gate you can go, okay, no, that guy's bald. I'm not going to date him. I can say that because I'm bald. So sorry, bald guys. So step two is this. Plan who you're going to see, but you need to plan what you're going to do. You need to plan what you're going to do. Here's the reality. No teenager ever plans to get pregnant as a single mom. Never happens. No 16-year-old girl is sitting in her sophomore English class, you know, writing in her journal, oh, I just really wish I could get pregnant. My boyfriend and I are just trying so hard. It never happens. It always happens because you've got a couple of people who don't plan what they will and won't do physically. If you're dating to find your mate, you need to know. You need to have a plan for what you will and will not do. 1 Peter 1:13 through 15 says this, so prepare your minds for action. Make a plan. Prepare yourself for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. And get this, so you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. Don't slip back into your old ways of living a lust-filled life, of saying, me first. I want to gratify these desires in my life. Don't do that. He says, you didn't know any better then. But now you know Jesus, and you know Jesus has a better plan for your life. He's got a better way for you to live and a better way for you to walk. And he says, now you must be holy in everything you do. Be holy, be pure in everything that you do. And so if you're dating, how do you stay pure? How do you stay holy sexually? You prepare your minds, you exercise self-control, you make a plan. You know in advance, you already know who you're going to see, but you know how far you're going to go. You know where and when you're going to be alone together. You know if a door is going to be closed or if the door is going to be open. You know all of these things in advance because you've made a plan in advance of what you will and won't do in order to protect your holiness, your purity, and not only yours, but to protect the holiness and the purity of the person who may be your potential future mate. That person who may be that person, the husband or wife that you know you want to cherish above everyone else and love for the rest of your life. It's protecting their holiness and purity too. It's the epitome of you first love. Take precautions physically. We're going to talk about sex next week. So some of you guys are like, awesome, mark my calendar. Some of you guys are like, don't bring the kids next week. But we're going to talk about sexual relationships a little bit more next week. But here's the thing. It's not just enough to say I'm not going to have sex. I mean, we're adults. Let's be real about this. It's not just enough to say, okay, I'm not going to do that because you're not going to have a plan for what you're going to do. And you're going to be in a car, you're going to be in a bedroom, you're going to be on a couch, and things are going to be happening, and things are going to get hot and heavy, and all of a sudden, hormones are going, and it's like, I mean, guys are guys. Our brains are gone in that moment. You can't get out of it. It's done. You can't get away from that moment. You've got to have a plan in advance for what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. You need to make that plan to set dating boundaries so that you don't give in and you damage your purity or their purity. You got to plan the places you're going to go, the places when you're going to be alone, who's going to be with you, how far are you going to go physically. Your personal holiness and purity, it matters to God. Hebrews 13:4 says this. It says that marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure. It's not just about the physical pleasure of a moment. It's not just about, oh, this is not that big a deal. It's just a thing that we're doing because we're dating. Listen, God's plan for you is to have a married relationship that is pure. And that's incredible and amazing. And God's plan is for you to exercise self-control and have a plan for what you're going to do in your dating relationships. I will decide in advance that I will wait until I'm married to have a sexual relationship. That's my plan. I'm going to stick to it. I'm going to do it. So we plan who we're going to see. We plan what we're going to do. And then the last one, just very briefly as we close this morning, is this. I'm going to plan what to expect. I'm going to plan what to expect. Ephesians 3:20. It says, now all glory to God, who's able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. See, we serve and we follow a God. And there's a God who's laid out plans and systems for us that if we follow them, he'll move in such a powerful way in our lives. But we follow a God who promises that when we change the way we think, that when we don't follow the customs and patterns and behaviors of the world, that he will do things in our lives that are greater than we could ever imagine, hope, or dream. And some of you in this room, you've known heartbreak from dating relationships. You've known pain and hurt, and that hurt has caused you to make bad decisions in your future ongoing dating relationships. It's caused you to do damage in your dating relationships that have led to bad married relationships, which have led to divorce and separation. And even still in all of that, you're in a spot right now where you expect the worst out of your dating relationships. You expect to be hurt. You expect to be abused. You expect to be torn down instead of built up because that's your experience. That's your past. That's what's happened before. And so what do? You start scratching things that are important off your list. You know, someone who's going to love and cherish me. Well, I guess that's not that big a deal because I just don't want to be alone. Someone who's going to always build me up and never tear down. Well, you know what? He's got a good job. You know what? She's really beautiful and I don't think she's way out of my league. So I'm going to scratch it off my list. And your expectations are lowered. And what you do is you put yourself in positions where you date people who are completely wrong for you and not God's plan for your life. And you do it because you don't understand what God is willing to do in your relationships. You don't understand the lengths that he's willing to go in your dating and even in your married relationships. You don't understand that God can and will and wants to do more than you could ever possibly imagine. And so look across the table at the person who you're dating the next time you're together and say, wow, did I shop while I was hungry? I mean, because, I mean, do I have a can of sardines packed in oil or do I have a package of delicious mint Oreos? Because, dude, God's got better flavors of Oreos than you could imagine. I mean, God's like whipping up batches of Oreos and flavors. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. That's his plan for you in your dating relationships. If you expect that from him. And here's the thing. When you expect God to give you the best, it's easy to walk away from second best. When you expect God's best, it's easy to walk away from the opportunity right now. It's easy to walk away from that person who doesn't believe in Jesus, but they're really nice and sweet. It's easy to walk away from that person who doesn't give you everything that you need, but they might be the best you'll ever get. It's easy to walk away from that stuff because you expect and you believe in the promises of God that he wants to do more than you could ever possibly imagine, not just in your, you know, everyday life, but in your dating and married relationships. And here's the best part of this for you married couples. For you people in this room who are married, you already have that mate, you already have that spouse, that person in your life. You may be listening to this message and you're going, we really screwed up when we were dating. We dated wrong. We dated badly. And honestly, our bad dating habits, the bad decisions we made when we were dating, translated right into our marriage. And you know what? Chris, if I was being honest, I have a bad marriage. It's just not good. Here's the beauty of this whole deal. It's that at the end of all of it, at the end of understanding how to date to find your mate, at the end of planning to date the right person, maybe it's too late for you. You didn't stick to the list of the things that you needed in a person. Maybe you didn't make a plan of what you were going to do physically, and you made lots of really bad choices sexually, and you can see the consequences, even though you're married to that person in your married life. But even though you may have missed out on those first two plans, the third plan is always in play. Because when you plan what to expect, when you understand what God can and wants to do in your relationship, in your married relationship, man, then you're not trapped anymore. Because God's going to throw open the possibilities of what he can do in your marriage. God is in the business of restoring relationships. God restores things. God takes broken people and he fixes them. If you're a follower of Jesus like me, you were broken, screwed up, jacked up, gross, dirty, and dumb. And God fixed you. And I didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. But that's what God does. He takes broken things and he fixes it. And if your marriage is broken, well, guess what God does? He takes broken things and he fixes them. If you're in a bad dating relationship right now, well, God takes broken things and he fixes them. But maybe that in that dating relationship, God's saying, I want to fix you, not this relationship. I want to fix your list. I want to fix your plan. Ultimately, the end of all of this, what God wants you to know, what I want you to know, is there is hope. There's hope. Because our romantic relationships are, I mean, the Bible talks about marriage as a reflection of our relationship with Jesus. It shows the world how much God loves us, how precious we are to him. A Jesus-centered marriage is a billboard announcing Jesus's love for us. And he wants every single one of us to have that type of marriage. That's his plan and that's his purpose for your life. And whether you're dating or single, if you both decide to say, I want to have a Jesus-centered relationship first, where love is always you first, it's never about me, where we communicate with each other well, we're always building each other up, never tearing each other down, and where you know exactly the things that you want out of a person you're dating, and you expect what God's going to do in your relationship, man, God can transform families in our community. And not just families that exist now, but the families that you single people are going to have. The marriage that you're going to have. My dream is this, is that I look at all you college students someday and I'm like, crap, I wish they would have taught me about marriage because look at their relationship. It's awesome. That's my hope. That's God's hope. And my hope for all you people who are married is the same, is that I can sit down here and go, why am I talking about marriage? I should have that dude coming up here talking about marriage because God is so prevalent in your marriage because you expect him to do infinitely more than you could think, dream, ask, hope. That's the God we serve and he wants to do that in your relationship. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word speaking to us about something so important as how we relate to each other and how we love each other. And God, I know you have plan and purpose for our lives, both in marriage and in our dating relationships. And my prayer this morning is this, is that you would speak this truth into our lives. For every person who's single, God, that you would challenge us to date to find a mate, not just to date because it's something that we do or date because society says we do it, but that we have a specific plan for finding that person that we want to spend the rest of our lives with, that we protect ourselves and our hearts by making a plan for who we're going to connect with, that we protect our purity by making a plan for how far we're going to go physically and sexually, God, and that we expect you to do amazing things in our lives, and that when all of those things fall into place, that God, you're going to open the door. I pray for the people in this room right now who are struggling with a marriage that's off the rails. And they wish they could go back and they wish they could do these things differently. But God, that's not your plan for them. Your plan is to fix things that are broken, to restore things that are broken. And Lord, I pray this. I pray that that's what you would do today. And Lord, with them, I surrender. I surrender my marriage to you, God. And I say, Lord, take it. Do what you want to do because I want to make you the center of my marriage. And Lord, I pledge that whatever that means for me, whatever that means for my spouse, God, I trust you to do more than I could ask. I trust you to do more than I can hope. And Lord, I trust, Lord, that there are people in this room who have zero hope for their marriage. God, I pray that you would help them not to depend on their own hope, but they would depend, God, on the promise that you could do more than they could hope for and that you would restore those things that are broken. Jesus, we surrender and submit our lives to you, knowing that following you is the best life we could ever live. And I pray that Compass would be a church of relationships that impact our community because they show the love of Jesus everywhere we go. Father, we pray all this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.